Emerald, you got a lot of coats?
I do.
Do you wear all your coats?
I don't.
Do you need all your coats?
I don't.
Do you wish you can do more, but you don't have enough money or time, and you feel like maybe I should do more, and you're getting this weird guilt feeling, and you don't really know if it's a God thing, or if it's a money thing, or if it's a heritage thing, and you just really want to do good?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I get that every day. So this is what we're going to do, Esmeralda. On December 27th, when we do You, Me, Them, Everybody Live, and we show those films that we made together, well, we're going to make it a coat drive. Does that make sense?
That sounds amazing.
So what we're going to do is ask all of our friends and enemies to bring all of the coats that they no longer need, coats that they were going to throw out anyways, and we're going to donate them to people that need them more than us. Does that sound okay to you?
That sounds awesome.
So that's what we're going to do, everybody. On December 27th at the Hungry Brain at 2319 West Belmont, after You, Me, Them, Everybody Live, after the films that we're going to show, we're going to collect all of the coats that you no longer need. If you have a coat lying around that you no longer need, we will take it. If your brother, if your sister, if your aunt, if your uncle, if your cousins, if they have coats that they don't need, you can take them off your hands and give them to us, and we will be donating all of those coats to Clara's house. Does that make sense, Esmeralda?
Gently used, please.
Gently used, please. If it's got a lot of cigarette burns, that's okay. We can donate it to the Putterball Sisters for their comedy routines. But no, for this, we want decent coats that somebody else could use, and you could get rid of all of your holiday guilt with one fall swoop. All right, that's it. December 27th, Coat Drive, Hungry Brain. Thanks for listening. Please, please, please give us your old coats. These happy golden days of yore. Hello, everybody. Welcome to You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby. I am sitting in a relatively warm apartment in the lovely chocolate city that is Washington, D.C., speaking with...
Esmeralda Leon.
You didn't know when to come in, did you?
No. Did you just call Washington, D.C. a chocolate city?
It's the chocolate city. You never heard of that?
No.
You know how Chicago is the windy city? Washington, D.C. is the chocolate city. Funkadelic has a song about it.
Is there a lot of chocolatiers there?
No, there's just a lot of black people.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, this is the Chocolate City. I think it's a fucking awesome nickname for a city as well.
That's weird.
The Windy City has got an awful connotation with dirty politicians, because that's what it actually is, and just awful weather. The Big Apple just seems like just a giant rotting apple with a worm in it, but the Chocolate City sounds delicious.
It gives two meanings.
Yep. Philadelphia is another great name for a city. The City of Brotherly Love. That's awesome.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
Awful city name. I want to know your opinion on this. Los Angeles, the City of Angels. I don't like that.
Well, that's only because it is called Los Angeles.
I get that, but I don't like the saying City of Angels, because when I was a child, I used to confuse the spellings of angles and angels.
So now you hate it?
No, I don't hate it. I just angels? Thought it was like a Tron-like universe where there were sharp turns. And also, there's too many puns about fallen angels and Hollywood and all that, so I don't like that one.
Well, City of Angels is a bit of a cop-out, because it just means... what it is.
Yeah, I understand that.
So, that's a bit lazy.
I moaned and groaned just there because I was trying to get the cat to sit on my lap. He does not want to. And you know what? It's conversations like these that earned us the New City 2010 Audience Choice for Best Podcast. We did it, everybody. We did it. If we had a crowd, they'd be clapping right now. Isn't that right?
Yes. I hope so. Or they'd be angry.
Why would they be angry?
That their podcast didn't win or something.
Well, fuck their podcast. We're the people's champion. We are the rock.
I don't know what audience we'd be with, so.
Well, I plug.
It could be for us or against us.
They're all against us, but that's only because we win. We win every award we have ever tried to win, which is one. We've done it.
Yay!
I'd like to thank all of you that voted. You've made it happen. We are now exactly where we were a month ago, but we have that cool little title. So thank you so much, everybody.
And that is quite true. We didn't, like, you know, jam the box full of our own votes.
No, you can't. We didn't. I voted
exactly
one time.
You couldn't.
I voted
that was
exactly
great.
One time. Did you vote one time?
I did. Well, I could only vote one time.
Only vote one time, and it was kind of awesome that we won, and I'm very shocked that we won, and I want to thank everybody. I feel very good about myself. I feel very good that I work with Merle. I feel very good about the Hungry Brain. I feel we're very good with Kevin. This is going well. Now, if we could
it's in print.
It's in print, everybody. Go pick up the New City. Friend of the show, Paul Hortschmeider, who's been on the show before, he did the cover. It's a really good-looking cover. You're going to want to keep that. The Critics' Choice, the podcast that they wrote about, Outside the Loop, another friend of the show. So it's all a lot of love going on right now. Chicagoist Carl Clockers mentioned us in a very nice tweet. We love him. A lot of positive plugs. When I started the campaign, to get us to win this illustrious award that we've won. I said, if you're not going to vote for us, vote for one of these other podcasts. And those podcasts include Outside the Loop, Chicagoist, Red Bar, Visitor's Locker Room, other people that have been on the show. Yeah. And the fact that another podcast that I like that I've been on and he's been on our show, that makes me feel good. We're creating this own little world. The whole punk planet ethos is alive and true. It is us versus them. And hopefully we can keep going with that. Enough of that self-congratulatory bullshit. let's plug something that we are a part of this Saturday night, Beats and Blog Show. It's going to be a fantastic show. White Mystery, Hollows, Rabble Rabble, and Radar Eyes. You can hear White Mystery. You can hear Rabble Rabble in the Chicago Music Podcast. So just subscribe to that via iTunes, and you can get all that with a, more than 100 other podcasts for free. I didn't realize this until today. That's the late show. The Beats and Blog Show is the late show at Subterranean. It's a 17 and over show. So if you're a 17-year-old listener, there is not one thing better you can be doing that night than seeing these four amazing acts. But here's the kicker. The early show features Team Band, who has played the live show, who I fucking love. They are a great live band. They're good on record, but they're great live. You can go see Team Band, go downstairs to Estelle's, have a few pints, and then go back up for the Beats and Blog Show. I can't think of a better way to spend a very cold Saturday night in Chicago, unless you want to visit Esmeralda at the Hungry Brain. That would be equally as fun. What do you think about that, Merle?
I like that.
Awesome.
Although, if I was, I know I should probably be saying you should come to the Brain, but go to the show.
Go to the show.
Go eat some tacos.
Oh, yes. There's a
Big Star. Or across the street at Skewers.
How is Skewers? I haven't eaten there.
I love Skewers.
Skewers is very good.
I've eaten at Skewers twice in one night.
So that's a show? Really? Let me guess. That night involved free tickets to the Double Door.
Yeah. Yep. Well, no, I had dinner there. Okay. And then I drank. And then I was like, let's go get Skewers.
Whoa, because you're our podcast champion via New City. That's why.
Yeah.
Only champions eat at Skewers twice in one
night. So good.
I haven't tried that yet.
It's delicious.
Do you know those bands? Because you're not as plugged into the music scene as I am.
Which ones? I know White Mystery.
You know White Mystery? White Mystery is great.
Band.
Alex from White Mystery kind of broke
my drums.
So that's cool.
But it would have broken anyway. Yeah, so
it's fixed, like, by the way. We're not angry at Alex White in any little bit. If anything, we would love for Alex White to just live on the You Me Them Everybody podcast in one way or another. She's fantastic.
Yeah.
But do you know Hollows?
No.
Oh, you'd really dig Hollows. They got this whole girl group sound going on. I think it's four girls and one guy or three girls and one guy. They're just great. Just old, like, throwback 60s garage girl group. Really, really okay. Good. Rabble Rabble. I'm not going to tell you about them. I'm going to tell you to listen to them on the Chicago Music Podcast. And Radar Eyes is just straight up awesome punk garage stuff. They're on the Horizontal Action Hozak record label, and they're fantastic, and I really
wish. So a good night overall.
Oh, really, really good. And I don't even know Team Band. Team Band, by the way, is not on this bill. They're playing the show before that. Team Band, oh, man, they're a fun band. If you want to drink like you're not going to wake up with a hangover, go hang out with Team Band. Funnest guys. love seeing that band live.
My question is, I don't know if this is going to put you on the spot, but what is going on at the Beats and, like, just the music, or is there going to be stuff there for you to look at?
That's a good question.
Other than the bands.
No, that's a fair question. It's just a music show. The reason why it's called Beats and Blogs is because You Me Them Everybody and a bunch of other people, like friends of the show, like Coach House Sounds and Loud Loop Press, are all doing this. And this was the idea of Beta Productions. Beta Productions throw shows, I think, about once a month, maybe once every 2 months. And they're really good shows. So they wanted to reach out to all of these separate parties and throw one giant show.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all it is. It's just really a really basic show where all four acts are very, very good with about 20 things, 20 different blogs or podcasts promoting them. So it's very not nice. Like a weird convention. It's a very normal show, but this is one of those shows that you really shouldn't miss. It's a very, very, very good lineup. So, yeah. I spent the entire afternoon, once I got home from my paying job, booking You Me Them Everybody, D.C., New York, and Chicago, and I am so impressed right now with the Hideout booking. Oh, my God, the Hideout. We got to do a show at the Hideout. Holy shit, that is an amazing amazing lineup they have. Every single night there's something I want to see there. And Shuba's is doing the Tomorrow Never Knows Festival in January. It's like 10 days of great acts. I'm just so fucking impressed. And then one of the things that turned me on to this is friends of the show, Tiny Cover Band, are playing The Hideout in December, this Sunday, actually. And they're doing like a puppet show, kind of like what we had at the Brain earlier in the month. And it looks fantastic. And I'm so jealous I will not be there.
Sorry.
So I just talked you into a corner. Let's start the regular show. What are we starting with, Merle? Time Magazine, Merle.
Yes.
There we go, Merle.
Line.
Go ahead.
All right. Well, so Time Magazine came out with the Person of the Year, which is Mark Zuckerberg.
What do you think of that choice?
I'm fine. Whatever, I guess.
I think
there's more interesting people, but whatever.
Who would be more interesting?
I don't know. He's just a dude.
Yes, but what did that dude do?
Isn't there somebody who helps just a babies? Dude. Or...
Well, here's the thing. Does he help the world?
In a very small way.
But he does.
There's got to be somebody that helped in Haiti. I heard the miners were a close second to him.
The miners would have been total bullshit. The miners didn't do a fucking thing.
But, you know, at least it'd be like, oh, rather than I wrote some code and made a website.
But who impacted the world the most?
You know.
But who impacted the world the most this year?
I guess he did. Although, I mean, this has been going on for a while now. So it's not like.
Nothing is ever just 1 year.
Like, well, yeah, of course.
So,
and I think it's only come to a head because of that movie.
Of course. And the movie happens to be good, apparently. Have you seen it?
No.
I will see that soonish. Kelsey wants to see it, so we're going to see that soon. Zuckerberg, was it like 1 in 12 people around the world are on Facebook? Something.
Almost. I mean, yeah, most
That's
likely.
Crazy high. That's insane. And like, even if you log in twice a year... So what? Like, it's that powerful. It's way bigger than Walmart, and that's probably the biggest store in the country. I'm serious. It's way bigger than AOL ever was.
But, I mean, there is that the backlash.
The backlash is inevitable. There's backlash against us because we won the New City Audience Award. We can't stop.
Just people hating on us.
Just because we're on that Zuckerberg track doesn't mean we stop. No, we forge ahead. This also proves my point that ugly people get more shit done. That dude's an uggo, and he's fucking brilliant. Good for Mark Zuckerberg.
He's not. I wouldn't say he's an uggo.
Would you call him attractive?
Nothing fancy to look at.
He's not attractive. He's not an attractive man. He's kind of looks like an uglier version of Milhouse.
He's just like a dude.
He's just a dude, and good for him. I love the fact that this guy is socially awkward in interviews. The day the movie came out, he gave a crap load of money to New Jersey public schools because of guilt. Awesome. He's
that's
brilliant.
The best.
No, guilt. He's brilliant. I'm serious. He's brilliant. The only, in my small idea of Time Most Interesting Person of the Year, I would just give it to Bill Gates until he dies.
Okay. Well, what has he done lately?
Microsoft. The end. All technology.
Well, I know, but...
It's kind of like my theory on rock and roll. You could pretty much boil it down to one person, then it stems from there. Well, without Bill Gates, there's no Mark Zuckerberg.
Okay. Well, that's true.
But
he does seem very Bill Gatesy.
Oh yeah, but Bill Gates, a lot of really good work. And Bill Gates, let's be friends, buddy. I know you didn't win Audience Award for 2010 Best Local Podcast in New City. There's always next year.
You can't be friends with him.
Why?
You have an iPhone.
We could still be friends. I'm using a Dell Mini right now to record on.
Oh.
Yep, which is on top of a Macintosh. We could still be friends.
Wait, is the Mac working?
The Mac works fine. I just can't figure out the audio settings to make the sound decent.
It would have been awesomer if the Mac wasn't working and you were just using it to set your computer on.
Like I'm a hick and you have the two TVs stacked on each other?
No, I'm just thinking more of like, Mac.
Fuck you, Mac.
It's broken.
Nope, it's just there. I use it for editing films.
I see.
Yes. But that's not what we were going to talk about.
No, I looked at it. I was like, whatever, Mark Zuckerberg. Okay. And I saw that picture of him on the Time cover, and you can just see everything. His pores, his freckles. You can see every, like, just ridiculous grossness on his face. And then I started thinking, wait a minute, doesn't Time do that? Like, isn't that what they do? And then I started looking at all the other Time magazine covers, and most of them, yeah, they're just like face front, and some of them are like, ugh.
But is it more of who they're putting on the cover?
They didn't Photoshop that very well.
Are they? No, but maybe that's their thing. Maybe we don't Photoshop. We're Time magazine. This is not about fashion.
I know, but come on, I'd be pissed. I don't want to be on Time ever. Then.
But that's how they look. They don't Photoshop the other way. There was a big scandal, Newsweek versus Time in 1994 when O.J. Simpson had the big car chase, and one of the two magazines darkened the photo to make him look scarier and more dramatic.
Well, that's different.
Well, exactly.
I just need you to get rid of the, you know.
But that's altering.
I'm having a bad day. Come on. Lighten up those under eye circles.
I think that gives people hope. It's like, hey, I'm not the most interesting person of the year, but at least I look better than Mark Zuckerberg.
I guess.
I think it's fine, actually.
I don't know. I would, you know, just a little something. I'd be mad. I'd be like, come on.
Do you think? I don't think that the person gets final approval.
Yeah, well, then, yeah.
I think
might
that's what.
I'd be mad. That's why I probably will never be on a cover of Time magazine.
I'm going to be on all the covers of Time magazine one year. I'm calling 2015 the year of Time magazine for me.
Be all right. And they're going to show all your ridiculous, everything on your face.
Everything on my face is ridiculous. I don't care anymore. If I'm on Time magazine.
I'm seeing some of the covers, and it's almost like at one point they were Photoshopping.
Oh, really?
Or making them look a little better.
Who do you think that, give me an example here. So the listener at home.
Well, there's a cover of a Time magazine with Kate Winslet on it.
Ooh.
And she looks amazing. I don't think she probably looks like this in real life.
See, do you think it's Photoshop post or just like 4 hours of makeup?
It's probably both.
I'm going to go with more makeup. For some reason, I don't think Time magazine's airbrushing like Glamour or Vogue.
I don't think they're, you know, thinning things out, but I'm sure, you know, little imperfections.
No, I don't. I bet it's all makeup. I bet it's all
whatever. Well, either way.
I'm sure Mark Zuckerberg could have said, wait, I want 6 hours of makeup.
Mark Zuckerberg refused makeup.
Yeah, probably. No, they probably didn't even think about it, and they probably didn't give him the option. And if you're not in that position literally every day, if you're not doing makeup ads like Kate Winslet, you're not going to know that.
Yeah, I mean, there is a nice one of Michelle Obama.
There you go.
She's looking good.
I mean, for the Beats and Blogs video shoot that I was on, very important, Merle.
Is there a makeup artist?
No, but people were doing makeup, and I went to the restroom to like make sure my hair didn't. I was wearing a hat for like 4 hours, so I didn't want my hair to look like shit or greasy as it already was. There was no mirror in the bathroom. So serious, this is the bathroom of Subterranean. So I go back upstairs, like, well, that was pointless. And Kelsey puts fucking, like, what's not supposed to go in your hair, like oil or some weird makeup thing in my hair because it was so fucked up. And I had no idea how it looked, and I had, like, 2 seconds of promotion. 2 seconds
lotion?
Of...
Lotion?
Yes, it was lotion, actually. She put
fucking
hand lotion.
You can do that
lotion.
If you have frizzies.
She put hand lotion in my hair, and I was like, I have no idea how this looks. And if you watch the video, I look kind of insane. And there's nothing I could have done about that because I don't have the time or the know-how to not look insane. I'm sure Mark Zuckerberg and I had the very, very same situation where he
You're
had to wait
like,
for
right,
18 other bloggers to take their photos for the Beats and Blogs. Yeah, I'm sure it's just a person-to-person thing. I think any actor or actress knows what they're doing a lot more than Mark Zuckerberg.
Well, then I guess I would request the 7 hours of makeup.
There you go. And you could demand or say, I'm not doing the cover. And then they'll wait. Because if you're that high profile, they'll wait.
I need 7 hours of makeup.
Yeah, pretty much. I want every single time I do a Time photo shoot, I want Grinch makeup. I want full Jim Carrey Grinch makeup.
Oh my God. Dressed as
the Grinch with no story or comment about it.
Even in July?
Especially in July.
That's weird.
I know, isn't it?
That's why
they're going to put me on every fucking cover.
Yeah, they love your...
What's going
your
on?
Eccentric.
And I will refuse to talk about it. That's my new thing. My new
when
thing is...
When asked about his makeup and clothing choices...
He just screamed, lick my butthole.
No comment.
I can't have my drawers open on my dresser anymore because my cat sleeps in them.
Oh, my cat does that, too.
So there's a cat story, everybody. What's our next piece? Do we have anything else? Or is it my turn?
Line.
All right, my turn. 10 most annoying Christmas songs via Gawker. So we're going to go through this, and you tell me, Esmeralda, if you think they're annoying, okay?
Okay.
First one I think we could both agree it is, Grandma got run over by a reindeer.
No, I like that one because I know the dude.
You know the dude.
I don't know Dr. Elmo, but I've met him a few times.
Who?
Dr. Elmo.
No, it's Randy Brooks.
Wait, Grandma got run over by a reindeer?
Maybe it's just some dude playing it on YouTube.
I think so. But it's Dr. Elmo.
No, it's Randy Brooks. Randy Brooks. But do you only like it because you know the dude?
And it's cute.
Okay, it's annoying.
Dr. Elmo.
So not annoying to you.
Not to me. I think it's cute.
Okay. Oh, that's fine. That's fine. The next one is I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus.
You know, funny enough, I have never heard that song in its entirety.
Really? I enjoy that song. There are two
versions.
Maybe
that's why. I just kind of, I turn it off.
I like the Ronettes version, and then there's also the Jackson 5 version.
Oh.
So those are two versions I enjoy, everybody. I enjoy. So far, I'm going to go 0 for 2 on this list. I think this one will tip the scales. The 12 Days of Christmas.
You know what? It really depends who's doing it.
I kind of agree with you. 4 p.m. afternoon caroling, no.
No.
4 a.m. after 14 drinks, and we're all trying to remember, yes.
And also, there's a version with John Denver and the Muppets.
Oh, that's true. Okay, there you go. So I'm going to go with not annoying.
Yeah, no, not
annoying. Okay, next one. We have Baby, It's Cold Outside.
Oh, I love that one.
Okay, 0 for 4. This will definitely not be on my list of annoying songs. Number 5, The Little Drummer Boy, specifically the Bing Crosby, David Bowie version.
Oh, I like that one.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's great. All right, number 6, Happy Christmas, War Is Over.
Oh, I like that one
Same
too.
Same here. Here's one I don't know, River.
No, I have no idea what that is.
I don't either. So far, 0 for 5 and a question mark. Here's one that might tip the scales. Band-Aid, Do They Know It's Christmas?
Oh, I like that one.
Okay. Here's one I definitely... So far, 0 for 6 and a question mark. Here's one that last year I turned me around. Last Christmas by Wham.
I actually just reheard it.
Okay.
And I'm not annoyed by it.
So no, that's a no.
Yeah, no.
Here's what...
But I don't love it either.
Here's why I kind of love it. Daniel Knox did a cover of it.
Oh.
And we played it last year for the holiday podcast.
I think I'm just neutral.
I like that song. Here's one I don't know. Christmas Shoes.
No idea.
Christmas Shoes. That's it. That's the entire list. So far, we were 0 for 8 with 2 question marks. We don't know River.
That is a horrible list.
That's a very generic. Those are mostly good tunes. Like, good songs.
They are
songs.
Very good.
What is the most annoying? I can't even think of the most annoying Christmas song.
I'm trying. You know what it is? It's always the way it's done. Because we had a bunch of Christmas music for my party. And John just went crazy downloading. And there was some that just sounded so cheesy with women in the background. You know, that very high-pitched singing like Winter Wonderland. And it was really
horrible. That's...
But there was versions that I found that were much, much better.
Did you ever hear the Dandy Warhol's version of Little Drummer Boy?
I think I did.
That's particularly good. There's a really good music video for that too. Very, very simple. And I highly recommend that to Lord of Swords. I think we'll close this episode of the podcast, or I'll throw it on at the end, is Daniel Knox's version of Last Christmas. I really enjoy that song. So
my favorite song right now is Santa Go to the Ghetto.
I don't know that song.
By James Brown.
That's probably a very good song.
He has a whole Christmas album that was just great.
My favorite Christmas album is Lou Rawls' Christmas album. I play it every year during our holiday party. This is the first year in, I think, 5 years where Kelsey and I are not having a holiday party of any sorts. So we've been treating each other like shit, everybody. Yeah, I love it. It's so good.
He's not wearing a shirt.
No, right? He's wearing a shirt. He's wearing like a white suit-ish thing.
Oh, okay.
And then they have the talk bubble of ho ho ho, it's Christmas or something like that. Ho ho ho, a Lou Rawls Christmas. Why would Lou Rawls
say the
ho,
other
ho,
ones
ho.
I don't like either. Johnny Cash.
His Christmas songs?
Yeah.
What, doesn't he have like a few albums of Christmas songs?
Yes.
What about Blue Christmas?
The 70s, 80s ones? No good.
There you go. That's a good point. What about Elvis Blue Christmas? I love that tune.
No, I found a bunch of Elvis ones. I like those.
What? Oh, there was some I wanted to cover, but I don't remember any of them. You can tell I've been listening to too much Paul F. Tompkins because I've been doing his voice the entire episode, and I apologize to Paul F. Tompkins. You know what's really weird about this whole, like, doing the talk show thing is I'm finally kind of touring and setting up the talk show like I always wanted to tour and set up my own band. You know, I can never.
Okay.
But since I'm like, you know what, fuck it. If no one could do it, I'll just do it alone. It's really weird, but I never really wanted to do this when I played solo shows. Like, I played solo shows in other cities, other states. I never had a good time. It's very odd, but now that I'm doing this show, I'm having a very good time. And it makes me think I never should have played music. It's no fun, everybody.
Well, it got you to where you are now.
You know, it's really sad because every day I want to play music and be in my bands and shit. It's very odd. Like, I need to really grow the fuck up and out of this, but it's not happening. So I guess
Why?
I'll be broke forever. Why do I need to grow out of it?
Well, yeah, I think you are allowed to play music.
No, I'm allowed. Everyone's allowed.
And not be like, oh, I shouldn't do it.
No, but it's getting to that point where it's getting real sad. Don't you think?
I don't think so.
I hope not. I hope
Maybe
not.
Maybe when you're 50.
Fuck, I'm thinking about when I'm 30. I don't gig out much. I play maybe like 2 shows a year, but fuck, I used to play about 50 a year and I really miss it. But I don't miss any of the things that go along with it. You know what I mean?
Well, then just play in your house.
No, it's not the same. You gotta
the cat.
No, I don't do that either. It's one of those things where if there's no show coming up, you're not gonna play as much. If there's a show coming up, you're gonna write more songs. You're gonna rehearse different things. Like, you wanna play more. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's kind of like when we do this show. I don't like doing the show once a week. I like doing the show almost every day or as much as possible to get in the swing of things. And it's no different than with music. At least for me, it's not. So, well, that was a tangent that went nowhere, and I apologize. You got anything else, Merle?
No.
All right, we're going to close the show early. We're going to make it a short and sweet one. Starting this Friday, and for the next 6 Fridays minimum, we're going to do Video Fridays. Video Friday is going to be awesome. The first 6 are things that I shot, you shot, Kevin shot, and Aaliyah Morawski, our summer intern, edited, and she did a great job. So the next 6 weeks are going to be Video Fridays. It's great. We got Al Scorch, we got Tia Ayers, we got Sanctified Grumblers, we got the Putterball Sisters, we have Dan Moore, we have I Ching Quartet, and Wells Next to See. Those are the first 6, and it's going to be really, really good. So make sure you are subscribing in iTunes so they'll just show up in your feed. Video Fridays, everybody. And this Thursday, tomorrow night for some of you and for most of you tonight, Thursday, December 16th, I will be at the Looking Glass Lounge hosting You, Me, Them, Everybody Live, our last show in D.C. for the year. We got a great lineup. We got Svetlana Lejasic from Brightest Young Things. We have the comedy of Emily Ruskowski. And we have music from Aaron Thompson. Aaron Thompson, friend of the show, obviously. He's going to play the normal 3 songs that everybody plays. We're going to record those. Then he's going to play the rest of his set. He's going to play an entire set. So if you want to see the entire set, you need to be there. I am only recording the first 3 songs. I could record them all, but no. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to show up to the show. And here's your incentive. You'll hear a whole Aaron Thompson set. Does that sound fair, Merle?
I think it sounds very fair.
Excellent. When are you going back to Joliet for Christmas?
Probably next week.
What time next week? Well, Christmas is next week.
Yeah.
What time?
Probably Tuesday or Wednesday.
Son of a bitch. I get in on Wednesday.
Oh.
When do you come back to Chicago?
Probably the Sunday.
The 26th? Maybe we will be podcasting that night, but we're not going to podcast tomorrow because you have your radio show and I have my live show.
Yes.
So maybe we'll talk on Friday, and then the listener will hear it Saturday or Sunday or Monday, whenever they choose to download it. Is that fair to you?
Mm-hmm.
Let's plug some stuff on your end. What do you want to plug?
I'm plugging stuff?
If you want.
The Beats and Blogs?
The Beats and Blogs.
Go to that.
Yes.
Or if you don't want to, but you should.
Please do.
And go eat some tacos and some skewers.
Tacos and skewers. That's a very good, really bad funk band. Really good name
tacos
for a really
and skewers.
Yeah.
I just, you know, the Beats and Blogs thing is really, it just sounds really cool, and the fact that it's 17 and over makes me very happy.
Yeah, but I'm torn because when I was 18, when I was 17, I would have loved that, but now that I'm 28, I don't want that.
Well, yeah, you don't want, but you know, you gotta
give
them. I feel
really old.
You gotta let them show. You gotta let them listen.
Yeah, I know, I know. All right, so yeah, thanks for listening, everybody. And if I could find it, here's Daniel Knox performing Wham's Last Christmas. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Last Christmas gave you my heart, but the very next day gave it away. This year, save me from tears, I'll give it to someone special. Once bitten, twice shy, I keep my distance, but you catch my eye. Tell me, baby, do you recognize me? Well, it's been a year, it doesn't surprise me. Crowded room, friends with tired eyes, I'm hiding from you in your sort of vice. I thought you were someone to rely on. I guess I was a shoulder you could cry on. A face of a lover with a fire in his heart. A man undercover, but you tore me apart. Now I've found a real love. You'll never fool me again. Last Christmas gave you my heart, but the very next day gave it away. This year, save me from tears, I'll give it to someone special. With a fire in his heart. A man undercover, but you tore me apart. Next year I'll give it to someone. I'll give it to someone. Last Christmas gave you my heart, but the very next day gave it away. This year, save me from tears, I'll give it to someone special. Last Christmas gave you my heart, but the very next day gave it away. This year, save me from tears, I'll give it to someone.